From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns commences a message entitled, Death Changed Forever by the Death of Christ, part of his series of studies in the book of Joshua. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning. This morning's text is found in Psalm 27 and verse 14. Wait on the Lord. It may seem an easy thing to wait, but it is one of the postures which a Christian soldier learns not without years of teaching. Marching and quick marching are much easier to God's warriors than standing still. There are hours of perplexity when the most willing spirit, anxiously desirous to serve the Lord, knows not what part to take. Then what shall it do? Vex itself by despair? Fly back in cowardice? Turn to the right hand in fear? Or rush forward in presumption? No, but simply wait. Wait in prayer, however. Call upon God and spread the case before Him. Tell Him your difficulty and plead His promise of aid. In dilemmas between one duty and another, it is sweet to be as humble as a child and wait with simplicity of soul upon the Lord. It is sure to be well with us when we feel and know our own folly and are heartily willing to be guided by the will of God. But wait in faith. Express your unstaggering confidence in Him. For unfaithful, untrusting waiting is but an insult to the Lord. Believe that if He keep you tarrying even till midnight, yet He will come at the right time. The vision shall come and shall not tarry. Wait in quiet patience, not rebelling because you are under the affliction, but blessing your God for it. Never murmur against the second cause, as the children of Israel did against Moses. Never wish you could go back to the world again. But accept the case as it is, and put it as it stands, simply and with your whole heart, not with self-will, into the hand of your covenant God, and say, Now, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. I know not what to do. I am brought to extremities. But I will wait until thou shalt cleave the floods, or drive back my foes. I will wait, if thou keep me many a day, for my heart is fixed upon thee alone, O God, and my spirit waiteth for thee, in the full conviction that thou wilt yet be my joy and my salvation, my refuge and my strong tower.
We sing hallelujah, 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 praise the everlasting King.
Praise Him for His grace and favor to our fathers in distress. Praise Him still the same as ever, slow to chide and swift to bless.
We we sing Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. Praise the everlasting King. We sing Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. Praise the everlasting King.
If anything is obvious in this modern society, it is that people are confused, frightened, and uncertain about the future. Where does one look for the solution to the universal problems of guilt, doubt, and temptation? A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns produced a booklet entitled A New Beginning, which deals with such questions as, how may I have my sins forgiven and my guilt removed? How may I be sure that I possess eternal life and that I am not deluding myself? And how may I enjoy the Christian life and live above constant failure and frustration? Dr. Cairns answers these questions from the Word of God. A New Beginning is for inquirers into the nature of the Christian message of salvation and for Christians desiring to gain a good grasp of the first principles of the gospel. It is useful for both personal use and for group study and discussion. For a free copy of A New Beginning, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A New Beginning, and we'll be happy to provide it. In chapter 4 of the book of Joshua, following the crossing of the Jordan, God instructed Joshua to take 12 stones out of the dry river bed and to set them up as a memorial on the Canaan side of the river. In addition, he was to set up a pillar of 12 stones in the river bed itself. Both of these pillars were to remind Israel of what the Lord had done for them in bringing them out of Egyptian bondage into the Promised Land. They would be a means of instructing future generations of God's power and faithfulness. As Dr. Cairns has emphasized in previous messages, the Jordan is often regarded as a symbol of death. In applying this text to the work of Christ, Dr. Cairns is showing the effects of Christ's sacrifice on death itself. By his death on the cross, Christ took something out of death, and he put something else into it. As we'll see, Christ removed the sting of death and the curse of death. Death's sting lies in the sin of which all people are guilty. When a believer is pardoned through the blood of Christ, sin is no longer imputed. The curse represents the final installment of God's punishment of sin, the second death. Christ has taken this away by being made a curse for his people. Now to continue this message, death changed forever by the death of Christ. Here is Dr. Cairns.
There is a word this morning. It's a word, I trust, of comfort for all God's people. It is not just for the great or those who are esteemed great in the church. It is not just for the advanced Christian. It is not merely for the person who is deemed strong in the faith. This is for all Christians, because the comforts of the gospel are for all who truly know Jesus Christ as Savior. We can say to all God's people, the weak in faith as well as the strong in faith, the Christian who is shrinking as well as the Christian who is to the forefront in the battle, we can say to all of God's people, by the virtue of the person and work of Jesus Christ, that there is a comfort in life and in death and for eternity. We can take this great truth of Joshua chapter 4. We can say that for every child of God, death is changed forever by the death of Jesus Christ. I want us to take the two thoughts that I have given regarding Joshua and apply them to Christ. And state first that Christ took something out of death just as surely as Joshua took something out of Jordan. I was thinking of what Christ removed from death for the people of God. Now this is certainly a very simple, but a very, very important line of thought for us, because it is appointed unto us once to die. Christians do face sickness and ultimately death. And that's not a pleasant thought to anybody. But this is a pleasant thought. Christ took something out of death for the people of God. The very first thing that occurred to me that he took out of death was the sting of death. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55, the apostle quotes the prophet Isaiah. And he says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. The sting of death is sin. Now, what does that mean? Isn't it wonderful that the more familiar we become with words, the more apt we are not to have a clue what they mean. We get so used to quoting this. We hear this quoted at almost every funeral. The sting of death is sin. What does that mean? Well, I think very simply, it means that it is sin that gives death its power to injure and to hurt. It is sin that gives to death its power to injure and to hurt. The great American commentator and theologian of the last century, Charles Hodge, considered this, and he made 3 points, and I'm going to not quote him but refer to him because I couldn't make them any more succinctly or any more clearly. The first is this: if there were no sin, there would be no death. You remember what Romans chapter 5 verse 12 says? Sin entered the world and death entered the world by sin. Now that's very clear. Sin entered the world, and then death entered the world by sin. If there had never been sin, there would never have been death in this world. That's, a very simple thing to state. It's a very revolutionary thought as well for many other subjects. If you consider it, for instance, you'll find that it spells the death of all theories of evolution, theistic or otherwise, because they all proceed on the notion of death before the fall of Adam. And all those preachers who talk to you about a gap between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2, and as I heard a very great preacher once say, you can stuff all the fossils you want into the countless billions of years of gap between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. You'll find that that's a very strange notion, because death never entered this world until sin entered this world. And we are told emphatically, sin entered this world by Adam. So if there'd been no sin, there'd been no death. But then, sin gives death its terror. And the reason for that is that sin makes us lawbreakers. Sin makes us liable to the wrath of God. Sin makes us guilty. Guilt accuses us. Guilt holds the terror of the law of God, which we have broken, over our head. Guilt charges us as being liable to the full fury of the wrath of a sin-hating and holy God. Now, we may mock that, we may deny that, we may ignore that, we may live as if it didn't exist, we may try to philosophize our way around that, but we can never change that. Let's be very clear about this. Sin makes us guilty, and guilt is what stirs our own conscience to accuse us. And that's what makes death such a terrible thing. Because however much we try to ignore it or deny it, there is the innate knowledge that through that door of death, I am going out to meet the God whom I have defied, whose law I have broken, and whose law condemns me. It's my sin, therefore, that gives death its terrors. But thank God today, we can say Christ has taken that out for the believer. If there were no sin, there would be no death. It is our sin that gives death its terror. And as I've just indicated, this is the pinnacle of the argument. If sin is pardoned, death has no terror. You see, if the terror comes because of sin, then once sin is gone, the terror is gone. And so when the Lord Jesus Christ died, He removes the sting of death. In other words, it's as if He came to us and He said, look, I have dealt with your sin. I have put your sin away. There is no guilt remaining. There is no condemnation outstanding. I have pardoned it. I have covered it with my blood of atonement. I have satisfied God and I have satisfied His law. God accepts my sacrifice and God accepts it for you. He accepts my obedience in your place. He accepts my atonement for your sin. And therefore God accepts you. There is nothing now in death that can hurt you. Christ is saying, I have removed the sting out of death. And it's on that ground that the Christian can sing Spofford's great hymn, It is well with my soul. We can sing that in life, it is well with our soul. When the sun is shining brightly upon us, when our affairs are in good order, when health and strength are enjoyable to us, we can say it's well with my soul. But when we become weak and debilitated, when strength is ebbing away, when life is ebbing away, when death is staring us in the face and eternity is very real, we can still say, it is well with my soul. It's a wonderful, glorious testimony because Christ has taken the sting out of death. There's a lovely statement of this in the prophecy of Hosea, chapter 13, verse 14. Where Jehovah says, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. And as the Lord Jesus Christ stood in death for us, that was His vow. That was His determination. And as we saw last Sabbath morning, He completely succeeded in everything He set out to do in and through His death. Oh, let this sink into our hearts this morning. We are not called to go out facing death, whistling in the dark. We are not called to stick out our chest and let on we're a lot braver than we really feel on the inside. No, we are called to look away to Calvary, to see the mighty Prince of Life vanquishing death, taking out the sting of death, and saying to death, I will be thy plague, I will be thy destruction. I remove your sting. I take away your power to injure or to hurt even the weakest, most trembling Christian, the soul that trusts in me. So He removed the sting out of death. But then He took also the curse out of death. The curse of death is that it is the final installment in this world of God's punishment on sin. And it is the first installment of that punishment in the eternity that is to come. Death is the transition between time and eternity. And as it was God's curse on sin, it is the last worldly installment and the first eternal installment of God's punishment. But thank God, for a Christian, there is no curse in life or in death. We are told specifically in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. What is the curse of the law? It is the imposition of death unto eternal condemnation. That's the curse of the law. The curse of the law is God's wrath, God's punishment, the fiery indignation of offended justice. That is the curse of the law. But Christ has stood in death for us. He bared His breast to the sword thrust of divine justice. He took upon Himself the full fury of the wrath of God. And bearing our curse, being made the object of the curse in our place, He has redeemed us, purchased us with the shedding of His own precious blood from that curse. And there is no curse for the child of God. There is no curse from God in the child of God. There is no curse in the law for the child of God. There is no angel can curse the child of God. There is no devil can curse the child of God. There is no curse for the child of God. Why? Because the Lord Jesus bore that curse. In other words, He removed from every Christian all the punitive aspects of death. Never forget that. For every single Christian, Jesus Christ removed forever all the punitive aspects of death. He took away the sting. He took away the curse. And He took away the darkness.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.